You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.
This is New Hampshire Now on KXL. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the program presented by the Prescription Center as well as New England College. And this segment of the show brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community designed specifically for individuals with dementia, Alzheimer's, or the forms of memory impairment. Join a tour and celebrate life at the Birches. Phone number 224-9111. Welcome to the program right now. Corey Lewandowski, former campaign manager for Donald Trump's successful 2016 presidential bid. And he joins us on the New Hampshire Now program. Corey, how are you?
I am doing super. How are you today?
Awesome. Appreciate you joining us for the show. The New Hampshire Republican Party having a big fundraiser tonight as Lara Trump comes to the Granite State. A 2020 reception with Lara Trump taking place in Nashua this evening. Talk about kind of the state of the Republican Party as you see it here in New Hampshire, and what is the need to get more consistent fundraising on board to be more competitive?
Well, it's a great question. I spent some time yesterday both in Concord and Manchester having discussions with people on this very topic. Look, the Republican Party in 2018 in New Hampshire really was decimated. Other than Governor Sununu, who went on to win his reelection campaign, we lost the House, we lost the Senate, we lost the Executive Council, and you know that was a missed opportunity for us. Part of that was lack of leadership from the Republican Party, and part of it is just the amount of turnover that transpires in the legislature. But that being said, we've got a new state party chairman who was at my home asking me for money just yesterday in Windham, so I appreciate that, and I know he's out making the round, Steve Stepanak. And what we're going to see tonight with Laura Trump is the Republican Party re-energized, because they want to make sure that the Democrats don't get to continue to hold both bodies of the state house, the House and the Senate, the Executive Council. We need people who are in Concord supporting Governor Sununu. We need people who are going to take on Jeanne Shaheen and move the Trump agenda forward, which is smaller government, lower taxes, and less regulation. I think you're going to see a huge turnout tonight. I think there's over 400 people already committed tonight. They're going to raise more money in one night tonight with Laura Trump than probably they had raised in the first 6 months of the last cycle.
Yeah, and I think that it's going to be interesting to see where the party heads, both in terms of infrastructure and messaging. And, you know, you hear from Steve Dupree, who's concerned about the direction of the party ahead of a potential New Hampshire primary challenge to Donald Trump. How do you build a party that is both pro-Trump, who is, you know, even divisive within the Republican Party, as we see from Dupree, a close friend of John McCain's? How do you build a party around him, but also be inclusive? Because as you know, in order to raise money, you want to have as many individuals as possible who are involved in it, but you also want to make sure that there is a rank and file and order, and the president is the leader of the Republican Party at this point.
Well, there's no question the president is the leader of the Republican Party. The National Committee has already endorsed the president's reelection campaign. It's the singular focus at the Republican National Committee in Washington, D.C. I know Steve Dupree well. I have enormous respect for Steve. And what Steve knows is that the policies that this president has put in place have helped everyday Americans. They've helped everyday New Hampshire residents, whether it is the tax cuts policy, whether it is job creation, whether it is helping with creating manufacturing jobs, business tax cuts, individual tax cuts. These are all things that have helped our economy grow, and we're growing as a country at record proportions. We've got the lowest unemployment rate for African Americans and Hispanic Americans ever recorded because of the Trump policies, and everybody gets behind that. And that also gives people more opportunities as they're coming out of college to first pay off that college debt and second find real jobs because, you know, look, under the Obama administration, the growth rate, the new normal, was 1.4, 1.5%. We've seen under the Trump administration threes and fours put up on the board. We're at a 3.8% unemployment, which is basically full unemployment. So you can sometimes disagree with the way the president delivers his message, whether you don't like his Twitter account or you think he's too harsh or he's too verbose, whatever it may be. You know, that's up for you to decide, but you cannot disagree with what he's done on behalf of the American people, the promises he's made, and the promises he's kept. And that's why the Republican Party is stronger now than ever.
That right there is the message for 2020, and I think that's clear. The economic conditions, being a nation at relative peace, if those things hold up, I think that individuals are going to take stock of their own lives and make the determination as to, you know, where America is at. And they may not like, as I do not, the things that that Donald Trump has said about John McCain. You may not like the tone and the tenor. But there's also that acknowledgement and understanding, as you've said in the past, of letting Trump be Trump. And it works for him. It has worked for him in the past. It may not be the way that you'd like to see a president carry himself, but I think that you're totally right. And the message has to be, for Trump to have success, the big picture. And what is the big picture at this point in time? Because even no matter who the Democrats nominate, the focus of the next election is going to be on Donald Trump. He wants the focus to be on him. It's going to be on him. So there's going to be a need to, you know, to tell the story of what's happening in the nation and say, well, the job that I've done as president, the way that your life is right now, is better as a result of me being president. So, you know, look past the aspects that you may not like in regards to this presidency and take stock of where your life is and where you think the country is headed.
You're exactly right. Look, you can go back to what George Stephanopoulos and James Carville said, right? Is the economy stupid? And on top of that, yeah, a very simple question, is your life better today than it was 4 years ago? And by every economic indicator, the answer is yes. Look, this president has agreed to remove our troops from Syria. He has moved the embassy in Israel. He's recognized Israel's rights to the Golan Heights. He has done more for Israel than any president in our nation's history. He's cut more government regulations than any president he's cut more regulations in the first 2.5 years than any president has in 8 years. He made a pledge for every one new government regulation, he'd get rid of two. Well, he's getting rid of 22, which means less government burden on small business owners, taxpayers, and big businesses. And so, look, you can disagree again with his Twitter feed and say, you know, that's not presidential, and maybe he should do it differently. But he's also been under this intense barrage of media scrutiny with a complete hoax about a Russia collusion narrative that has hung over this administration for 2 years. Bob Mueller spent 1 year, 10 months, and 6 days investigating this president with 12 Democrats. Attorneys, they could not find one piece of collusion, not one piece of obstruction. And so he's had to use a microphone to cut through the fake narrative that's appeared on some of the cable news networks. And it's tough, but I think the American people like a fighter. And when you look back and say, am I better off today? Do I have a better job? Do I have more opportunity? Whether I'm a college student, I'm a mid-career person, or I'm at the end of my career, is my 401 account better today than it was when the president came in? You bet it is. And so that's how people vote. They vote with their pocketbook. And look, they may not like the way he says certain things, but I think they respect the results that he's been able to achieve in the short 2.5 years he's been there.
Is there a, you know, concern, though, as you mentioned, you feel the president has been cleared in regards to collusion and obstruction? And the collusion issue, if you take the Barr letter at face value, yes, the Attorney General has said that Robert Mueller cleared him on that issue. But the obstruction issue still seems to be one that is kind of up in the air at this point in time. And the full report has not, you know, come out as of yet. Is there a danger of jumping ahead of the Mueller report before it's completely been made public?
I don't think so, and let me tell you why. Bob Mueller made the decision that he could not determine if the president obstructed justice. And so Bob Mueller reported to his two immediate supervisors, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and Bill Barr, and he said, I cannot make the decision if the president obstructed justice. Then Bill Barr and Rod Rosenstein, they made the decision. So Mueller moved the decision to his two supervisors, the Deputy AG who oversaw the entire investigation, and the Attorney General, who is fairly new in the position. They made the determination that the president did not obstruct justice. So that's the end of that. And what is still to come is, I would love to see the president release as much of the Mueller report as legally allowed. There are some grand jury mm-hmm. testimony things that you cannot release under the law. But I also think that the Inspector General of the Department of Justice, Michael Horowitz, his report is going to be out in the next 60 to 90 days. And that's where you will see additional criminal referrals for people, I believe, like James Comey and Lisa Page and Peter Strzok and Jim Baker and potentially Bruce Orr, all those individuals who are part of this conspiracy and crime who have not been held accountable yet, the only criminal referral we have seen out of the Department of Justice so far is with the former deputy attorney, the deputy director of the FBI, Andy McCabe. He's been referred for criminal prosecution. Now that the Mueller report is over, I think the attorney general is going to move on that, and you will see the true accountability and just how high this crime went in the previous administration.
No, I think it's very important that there is as much transparency as possible on this issue. I think that the key point that you mentioned there is in regards to Rod Rosenstein, who is by no means an individual that individuals should question his impartiality on this issue. Bob Mueller, the same thing. I think obviously there's clear questions in regards to the impartiality of Attorney General Barr and how he was able to make a determination about the contents of the Mueller report, which is over 300 pages long in a span of 36 hours, that the special counsel was unable to make is a question still. So I think, again, there's questions that are out there, but you're completely right in regards to transparency and further investigation on all sides of this. That's what, you know, this country is supposed to be about. Not Republicans, not Democrats, but a legality and a rule of law. And that should be pursued to the furthest extent imaginable.
Well, and I hope that the president declassifies the specific pages of the FISA application that was signed that authorized the U.S. government to spy on American citizens on domestic soil because they didn't like our politics, specifically Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, my colleagues at the campaign. I hope the president declassifies those, and I hope he declassifies the 302s that Bruce Orr gave to the FBI. Those are the contemporaneous notes that FBI agents took after speaking to Bruce Orr, whose wife was working for Fusion GPS, and how the dossier originated and how it ended up in the hands of the FBI. If the president does those things, full transparency, in my opinion, is the best thing. I think the American people are going to be shocked that a handful of individuals truly tried to take out a duly elected president. It is the closest thing this country has ever come to as a coup d'etat. I don't say that lightly. It is something where 5 to 8 people in the U.S. government thought it was their job, obligation, and duty to remove Donald Trump, first to prevent him from becoming the president, then second to remove him from office. We need to find out who was giving them the orders. Was it Susan Rice in the previous administration? Was it Ben Rhodes, the deputy national security advisor? How high did that go? Because we now know, under congressional testimony, multiple people have said that they felt pressure from the Obama administration to first open the investigation into the Trump campaign, and then secondly, to continue it. So let's get the end result so that this never happens again, not to a Republican, not to a Democrat, ever.
Yeah, and again, the motivations of the individuals involved is certainly something that that should be looked at. And you know, there were signs, such as the Papadopoulos meeting with Australian intelligence, where there was warranted investigation. But if that investigation indicated that there was nothing there and that there was no Russian collusion and that the investigation continued despite what those findings were, I think that you're 100% right. I mean, there may have been overtures made in regards to establishing a Trump Tower in Moscow and something of that nature, but that doesn't mean that there was collusion that took place. Donald Trump is a businessman, and he was watching out for his interests if he were not to become president of the United States. And it was clear that there was no there, and this was continuing to be pushed, then you're absolutely right. There should be a complete investigation. And on the other side of things, if evidence showed that there was no collusion and it was clear on behalf of the individuals who were investigating and the higher-ups that there was not a need for the type of focus and that was being placed. I mean, the Mueller investigation so far, from what we've seen from the Attorney General's letter, and again, I want to see the whole thing, indicates that that Mueller determined that there was not that much there, and there was not too much of a focus on his part in regards to that aspect of the investigation.
Well, the one thing that I caution listeners to understand is Number one, George Papadopoulos was a volunteer in the campaign. And I don't know, to be very candid, how George Papadopoulos ever secured a meeting with an Australian diplomat. Because I don't think, as Corey Lewandowski, the campaign manager to Donald Trump's campaign, I could have secured that meeting. So I'm not sure how that whole thing came to be.
Mm-hmm.
But what is very concerning is if a volunteer on a presidential campaign is at a bar running his or her mouth, thinking that they're, you know, bigger than they are, talking about all this information they have, if that is the predicate for starting an investigation, then I would caution every volunteer on every Democratic presidential campaign right now, because you may not believe this. People start drinking. They start making up stories. They ingratiate themselves. They tell people how important they are. And that's exactly what George Papadopoulos did.
Right.
He went to a bar in London and said, hey, I'm with the Trump campaign. He never had a Trump email. He never received a dime from the campaign. He had no role in the campaign. And all of a sudden, they said, whoa, this guy went overseas and had a conversation. Let's launch an investigation. If that's the case, then every volunteer and every paid person on every Democratic campaign right now, and there's about 20 of them, had better never show up in a bar and never have a conversation, because that's a very, very scary thing. If that's the predicate for launching a $25 million investigation and start spying on Americans, it really is scary. And look, I wrote all about this in a great book called Trump's Enemies. It's all in there. And if you read it, you wouldn't believe what actually transpired, because you didn't think it could actually happen in this country.
It's Corey Lewandowski joining us here on the Hampshire Now program, former campaign manager for Donald Trump. We're talking about Laura Trump's event tonight in New Hampshire for the Hampshire GOP fundraiser taking place tonight in Nashua. And he joins us here on the Hampshire Now program. This hour of the show is presented by New England College, as well as the Prescription Center. And this segment of the program brought to you by the Birches at Concord. I want to touch on the Democratic field a little with you before we let you go. Is there anybody out there right now that you look at and say, this is an individual who is a problematic matchup for Donald Trump?
Well, look, I think that the individuals that would be most problematic for Donald Trump will never make it through the Democratic primary. Now, a guy who has gotten a lot of attention, who's a very much an unknown, is Pete Buttigieg, I think his name is.
Buttigieg,
the mayor. Buttigieg, yeah.
It took me, Corey, it took me 2 weeks to figure out how to say his name correctly. So once I nailed it, I'm going to say it. I'm going to correct people every single time.
you should, because I'll tell you what. Look, the guy's raised a ton of money.
Yeah, $7 million.
As the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, which, by the way, to put it in perspective, South Bend has about 100,000 people. It's about the size of the city of Manchester.
Yeah.
And this guy has raised a commensurate amount with Kamala Harris. Not like she outraised him, but this guy's done a great job.
Yeah.
And he's the type of individual that if I were a Democrat consultant, I would not be looking at the Elizabeth Warrens of the world and the Bernie Sanders and the Robert Francis O'Rourke. I'd be looking at a moderate who can win in places that they lost last time. I know Terry McAuliffe, the former governor of Virginia, is thinking about entering the race. And look what they've done to Joe Biden in the last 72 hours. I mean, they destroyed Uncle Joe. And that's all come from the Democrats, because they don't want him in the race.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the types of candidates that I think will be the most problematic if they could make it through the Democratic primary. But I think what you'll find, very similar to 1984 when Ronald Reagan ran for re-election, they nominated the far leftist, the socialist, as far as they could go. And it really took the Democratic Party a long time to recover from that election loss in 84. I think what's going to happen is a far leftist is going to get the nomination. It is going to be a socialist who does not agree with or comport with the values of New Hampshire, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Ohio. And if you can't win in those places, there is no path to victory just carrying New York and California.
I completely agree with you. I think that, you know, kind of bring it back full circle to what we were talking about in regards to the economy. If this becomes a Donald Trump debating the virtues of capitalism versus Bernie Sanders or Kamala Harris or someone else debating the virtues of socialism, that's going to be a problem for Democrats. I think this is a very winnable election for Democrats if they nominate the right person. And you know, Pete Buttigieg is a individual who I think could do very well in a general election. Again, it's a very big jump. There's no clear line that exists between the mayor's office in South Bend, Indiana, and the White House. But what he has is he is a very strong communicator. He is extremely comfortable in his own skin with who he is. He is authentic. And he is also a a center-left politician. And that is what the Democratic Party should be looking for at this point in time. You want somebody that can do the job, that is clearly able to communicate, but someone that is not looking to change and alter what America is. And if that is the debate, socialism versus capitalism, and Republicans are clearly able to push that forward, a very winnable election becomes very problematic for Democrats.
It really does, and you have to win in those blue-collar places that the Democrats used to dominate, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. Trump won in those places because of a message of bringing back trade jobs and bringing back the way that people remembered their fathers and grandfathers working on the assembly lines and having good-paying jobs, whether it was at a steel plant, a coal miner, or the automobile manufacturing, right? If your answer now is, hey, it's socialism, everything is free, and the Green New Deal, which means no cars, no airplanes, and no cows, is what the Democrats are embracing, there is no mathematical formula that will allow them to get to the 270 electoral votes. And you couple that, candidly, with the work that the president has done on prison reform and the support that he's receiving now in the African-American community. I know it doesn't sound like a lot. He got 6% of the African-American vote in the last election. If he ends up getting 10% of the African-American vote in this upcoming election, that all but assures him another victory in Michigan and Pennsylvania, because the suburbs of both Detroit and Philadelphia, respectively. And again, there's no path forward. So the Democrats have to find somebody, in my opinion, if they want to be successful, who's a moderate that can play in those places. If they just want to have a statement, which is socialism wins, then they will be outside the White House for another 4 years.
Corey, appreciate you joining us for the program.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, Corey Lewandowski here on Hampshire Now. 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the show is presented by New England College, as well as the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show brought to you by the Birches at Concord.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council, and also by New Futures.